Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was going to say, man, you heard from Josh Naylor and Chris Antonetti, courtesy of Bally Sports, coming back there. And I know they've played some teams that are, let's just say, not the best teams in baseball. To me, like, your competition's going to waver. You can't control that. What you can control is how you play. And this team has that feel like they did 2 years ago, like they did for a good part of the 90s. They just never feel out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of starts with Josh Naylor.
Oh, I think it absolutely does. I mean, this guy feels like the kind of the heart and soul of this team. We all love his antics. And, you know, obviously in the playoffs when he was doing the Rock the Baby thing, that was pretty funny as well. Didn't end up helping us in the long run. But nonetheless, I do think this guy has been raking. He's exactly what the Guardians need. There's not a lot of what's the word I'm looking for when it comes to, like, there's not a lot of outgoing characters on this team. There's kind of a lot of
laid back.
I don't
want
to call them average Joes, but they kind of, because they're really good at baseball.
Yeah.
But they're just kind of nondescript dudes.
I will say, and this is not a knock, but like Stephen Kwan, Tristan McKenzie, they have their fair share of nerds. And, like, we've talked a lot about the Cavs. Are the Cavs too nice? There are times where I think the Guardians have a lot of nice guys. It doesn't mean they're not great competitors, but it does mean, like, you know, I always thought Mike Napoli, for a guy who was a six-hitter for most of his career, or seven-hitter for most of his career, Mike Napoli was the right guy to light the fuse for that Indians team in 2016, because I think he had what they were missing. And a lot of it was, he was, obviously him and Napoli and Naylor aren't one for one. They're not, you know, one hits from the left side, one hits for the right side. One, I think they're both good power hitters. I actually think Josh has maybe more power than even Nap had, mm-hmm. like consistently. Naylor is a true, Naylor's out athletic enough. I think Naylor could play in the outfield. It's just the injuries why he doesn't. So, like, I really like – so I look at them as the same guy. Like, I think Napoli was the piece. I think some of the guys in that locker room were scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other guys bonded with that kind of macho, hard-headed, fiery leadership. And I kind of think that's what Naylor provides for this team. Like, I think he's just a dude that if you don't play hard, you're going to hear about it. And you see how much it matters to him. And I think for a team that is incredibly analytical, I'm saying the players, like Kwan's incredibly analytical. You've got a lot of really, really smart players. And sometimes the offset can be you don't have guys who play with passion. They do play with passion, but again, they're reserved. I think Napoli brings out that passion, and I think Naylor brings out that passion, and that's why he reminds me of Mike Napoli.
I think the Napoli comparison's a good one. What I say to you before the show is kind of like our modern version of Albert Bell.
Yeah.
He's not quite like that, but, I mean, he's feisty.
Yeah, definitely not chasing down kids in his SUV yet.
Correct.
Yet. There's still that ceiling.
Oh, well, let's, if he wants to. We don't need to. A yet here.
Yeah, I'm also afraid of saying anything like that on air because Albert probably still could whoop my ass, but that's okay. You know, it's funny. Like, I think we could be on the precipice of something that really, really matters to this team. I think the fact that they're winning to the clip that they are, the fact that they are, I want to say, top five in runs scored. They are, I think, 15th or 16th in home runs. So they're top half of the league in home runs, or right there, kind of league average. And they're doing this without Hosey being your best player. Kwan has been ridiculous this year. Kwan has been, I would say, even better than his rookie year for how instrumental he's been early. Jimenez is back, and I think it all comes together around Naylor. Like, if you told me Hosey was going to have, I think, like a 635 or 650 OPS through 22 games and you'd have 16 wins, before the season, I don't know I could have believed that, Dustin. For them to have this success, like, Naylor is crushing it, and the power's there this year. I think he's on pace for 33 or 34 home runs. Mm-hmm. That'd be a career high from him. That's the kind of thing. Wait till Hosey heats up. And Hosey usually around May, and then we get into June, he really takes off. He is a warm-weather player. June, July, August is a little bit of a step back for some reason, and then September, like, he's a 900 OPS, 1,000 OPS type player once the weather heats up. Like, that only gives me more hope that not only can Naylor continue what he's doing right now, but that maybe he still has another gear to get to as Jose. And God, I mean, if they ever can protect Naylor, like,
look,
you
out.
Know, Naylor's protecting Jose now. If you can get a guy to protect Naylor, that's when all of a sudden you have a chance of being more than just a great contact offense, doing the right things, doing the little things, you know,
right?
Sacrifice flying a million runs home, that kind of thing. But that it all starts with me to Naylor.
How good can this team be?
I mean, I think they can win the Central, and I think they can be a pest in the playoffs. To me, you know, I've always said this: the offense the last couple of years has determined what you look like in 162 games. The postseason to me is what does your rotation look like? So Gavin apparently had a meeting with the team about his arm. He just threw a simulated game. If all goes well and he starts a rehab thing, he's back by, I would assume, mid-May. So if he's back and you've got Bybee and Allen are kind of treading water right now. They're not great, but they're at least giving you innings. Cookie is giving you some innings. If you get four solid starters in your rotation, you're just piecemealing the fifth spot, you're going to be able to really do some things because the bullpen's been great. But I think that's why, like, we're going to get into the Josh Naylor thing. Should the Guardians, you know, put him in an extension and all that? I think if that's the only conversation we're going to have about him and the Guardians, we will have missed the ever-loving point. He is really special for what they're doing right now. And I might even think, like, again, Hosey is the heart and soul of the ball club because he's the guy here under the long-term contract. In the end, when you have a player like that, he is going to help decide more than anyone which way this team goes. But right now, I think Josh Naylor is the key to the Guardians lineup, and I think that puts you in a really great position. Like, that's the kind of thing that takes you, I think, from being, oh, Jose can be your best player from June on, and Naylor's going to get you till then and keep playing afterwards. If Naylor can stay healthy, there's no reason to believe this team can't do more than just, quote-unquote, compete in a bad Central, which is all anybody wants to talk about at any point.
Well, and the big thing for the Guardians, you know, over the last couple of years has been they need some help around Ramirez.
Yeah.
And because Ramirez is awesome. We know that, but he can't carry the whole team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we see it with Mike Trout in L.A., is Josh Naylor the key to the Guardians lineup? We are going to get into that whole conversation about extend him or not to extend. Matt, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing very well, buddy. Welcome to the show.
All right. So, Nick, first off, you know, I know you and I have gotten in some knockdown, drag out arguments with this team, and I'm here to eat a little bit of crow. I'm going to be honest. Like, it's going to sound really bad, but, like, I think we're going to look back on some of the stuff with the injuries with the pitching staff as kind of a blessing in disguise. because it's forcing the team to finally reevaluate its philosophy. It used to be pitching, and now they're in a position where you can't just rely on the pitching. You have to put balls in play. You have to put balls over the fence. I still go back to that's, I think, what cost us the Yankees series a few years ago, where, we'd slap together eight or nine hits and, get a run or two, and then York would come up and get one big swing, and it would be, 4-3 or 4-2 or whatever. And I think, and I don't know if this is a Francona philosophy, and I feel bad criticizing him, but I'm going to eat a lot of crow right now because, the offensive philosophy seems way different now. I still think outfield we could maybe have some upgrades here and there, but Arias has been a big surprise for me. Kwan, I don't think still doesn't get enough credit. And again, like you said, they're doing all this without Jose even being really good at all right now. And if he gets going, that's gonna be a problem.
Matt, we appreciate you. I would suggest a little bit of hot sauce on that crow. I will say, in the moments I've had to eat crow, hot sauce does take a little bit of the gaminess out of the flavor there, buddy. Appreciate it, though. Good stuff, buddy. Matt, giving us a call there. I actually think I just put Matt on hold. Sorry about that, Matt. If you want to stay on hold, it's your world, buddy. The Arias thing is for real, though. I'm telling you, another 3 weeks and Arias might be your starting shortstop. No, I mean, Rocchio was really nice the first couple games. Arias is hitting with power, and one of the reasons why you might not want to bring up Manzardo right now is if you take away first base, he's getting reps there, he's getting reps at second, reps all around the infield, and even in center field. So I don't know you want to take Arias' bat out of lineup right now. He's been fantastic. I think what makes Naylor so cool, though, to get back to him, is I think that he plays with emotion. And I heard Ken talk about him this morning, and Ken said is the first player he's liked, truly liked without knowing him, meaning without meeting him, since Albert Bell. I just think, that's the kind of player, right? He plays the right way. He's charismatic. He's very energetic. That for a town that needs something to get excited about the Guardians, I mean, Naylor's kind of the guy that I think – it's the same reason why people gravitated towards Hosey and didn't gravitate towards Frankie as much.
Yeah.
One guy felt like Josh Naylor feels like a Clevelander to me. What I mean is it just feels like
blue-collar, badass dude.
And just
doesn't give a rip about what people say about him.
We make fun of it, dude, but there is a gets us factor with Naylor that I think
starts with Naylor.
So I just want – so I understand we're getting into the extension conversation. We will. But I just think it needs to be said. I think he's the key of the lineup right now. And I think he's the key to breaking through over the next 30 games in this town. Because I think we've seen it, going to the Yankee series, people react to him because he is an emotional guy and he gives you something more than the average baseball player gives you. I heard Ken make an impassioned plea for extending Josh Naylor. And the way baseball works is, Josh, after this year, will have two more years of control. Usually, for a team like Cleveland, if you don't have a chance in an extension for that kind of player, or if that player doesn't want to be extended, with 2 years to go, that's when you start shopping the player. So it would make a lot of sense if this offseason, especially if he's coming off a career year, if we saw Josh Naylor shopped by the Guardians and even dealt. Now, in fairness, they've not done that successfully recently with Shane Bieber. They missed the mark on Francisco Lindor, trading him after 1 year of control instead of 2 years. So it's not a given that they will. But I think you then start to go, all right, well, we don't want to trade him. We don't want to lose Josh Naylor. Mm-hmm. Okay, can we extend him? I actually think he's pretty extendable for a few reasons. I just don't know it's as cut and dry as maybe Ken made it out to be, where just extend him because I like him.
I'm more with Ken.
Mm-hmm. I think a good deal of Guardians fans would be with you there.
Yeah, obviously he's very, very likable, but we're not going to like him if he doesn't produce.
Yeah, well, and I think so.
And all the other stuff, and I don't want to call it antics, but what's a better way to put it, Nick? Because I don't think what he does is wrong or like. I mean, I guess it could rub other teams the wrong way.
Antics is a good word. It just seems there's now a negative.
Like it seems like I'm saying what he's doing is like a negative to the team or something, and that's not the case. I think I could see it. I could see other teams thinking he's doing antics.
So
you know what I'm saying? But like again, he backs it up.
Yeah, I think the reasons you wouldn't, and these are just baseball reasons. These are not fan reasons. These are reasons why trying to sign Josh to a long-term extension or even a short-term bridge contract, I don't honestly know what he or the team would be interested in. The injuries are a real thing with him. Mm-hmm. We remember the horrific leg injury when he was playing right field back, I think, in the pandemic that it took him a while to come back from. But Josh is maybe not the most physically fit guy. He's not Dan Vogelbach. But, you know, he is a guy that plays with a little added weight around the midsection there. And he has had injuries. He's only played – I think last year was the most games he's played in the big leagues. He had injuries in the minors too, by the way. So the injuries are for real. I think trying to figure out a guy's value when last year was the first year – he's been a really nice player for you since you traded for him. Last year was the first year he added the kind of power that he did and the kind of run creation that he did. So trying to pay him right now, I don't know what the value is. And I don't mean that in like a, oh, he's not valuable. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the key to this deal working out for the player and the team is you find a sweet spot in between what he wants in free agency 2 years down the road and what you think he might be able to produce at. When you've got a guy who, again, last year was a career year, this year seems like it's shaping up to be the next step in that career year. There's a lot of risk in paying that guy. We saw that with Hafner, right? Travis Hafner teased power. Mm. I remember I had a bet with my dad for 3 straight years that one day Travis Hafner would hit 40 home runs for the Indians. And my dad, every year at the end of the year, would be like, you want to just call off the bet now? You can just pay me? And I was like, no, he's going
to
hit it.
Did you have to get your dad teasers?
Didn't have to give him teasers. Didn't have to give him a burger. You know why? Because he had to give me those things because Travis Hafner ended up hitting 40 home runs for you. And then you paid him because of that success he had had, and then obviously the shoulder injury happened and he was never the same guy. So obviously they're a little bit different of players, but I think that's my concern. Those are the reasons I wouldn't. The reason I would, and this is a fan take, he resonates with fans. He really does. I mean, I don't know anybody else has gone as viral as Naylor has with the rock the baby thing, with the bashing himself on the helmet. Like, he's an emotional guy, and this is a town that really values people that care. And that you see that passion in real time. Also, if he stays healthy, he could be an absolute steal on an extension. Because he is still pretty young. I think he's 26 or 27. So if you sign him to a 4-year extension and you get him through, he's 33, and he's healthy, it could be one of the best deals you ever make. There's a reason they made the Hafner deal. There's a reason they made the Jake Westbrook deal. There's a reason they've made – and by the way, it was Jim Thome on a team-friendly deal and Manny on a team-friendly deal that kept those guys in Cleveland for a decade each. Like, that's what Naylor gives you. But I think it's not – I would laud it if it happened. Anytime the Guardian signs somebody, we should laud it. But it's not quite the risk-free proposition that I think everybody, including Ken, and I'm not trying to misparaphrase him, but including Ken, seem to make it out. I think there's a lot of ins and outs on this one, and it is a risk that scares me a little bit. In the end, I'd probably be willing to do it, though, because he kind of seems to be the heartbeat to this team. And the last guy that they did that with was Hosey. And to this point, that deal's worked out pretty well. 216-474-0092. I want to get to something else with this deal and something that I reject with how it's being put out there. But before we do, let's go with Joe. Joe, welcome to the show, Joe.
Guys, thanks for welcoming me. Hey, I love this topic of conversation. And you know what I'm not worried about is their passion for the game. Like, Dustin, you should understand it. I mean, you know, come with your last name. You came from a family of just loves football. And, I mean, him and his brother, both on that team. And I'm glad you said, Nick, the word Travis Hafner, because he's what Travis Hafner was supposed to be. And I'll tell you what, you extend him right away because guess what? He's right after Mr. Ramirez. Okay, right now we got the top four batters, in my opinion, with everything they do in our at least in the AL. But don't you think that, you know, if you do that, then of course, you know, Jose will stay, and Bieber's the one who's going to have to take the pay cut. That you know, God made a plan and said, hey, guess what? You're staying in Cleveland because, like you said, we can't do anything with him. So guess what? He'll stick around. And if he doesn't, I'm not too worried. We got BBs and Williams and these guys flying out of our system. We don't have all those hitters. Now we got, you know, leaders, and we got like that chemistry kind of feeling too, I think, with these guys. So, yeah, you know, the games, you got to, you know what, you got to put some money on the table when you got top four hitters. And you look at the Yankees, they're not counting their 7, 8, and 9 guys. I love our 7, 8, and 9 guys, but let's face it, top four guys are your bread and butter.
Joe, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. All right, a few things. I would absolutely try and give Bieber an extra year on his contract to see if he wants to rehab and return to Cleveland. He might not. I mean, he is. I think he has been pretty adamant in going to free agency in the first place. I don't see a lot of value coming off Tommy John, not having pitched like he's capable of pitching for 3 or 4 years. I don't see a lot of value in that. He might feel differently. He is a West Coast guy. Like, he might want to do that. Like, the Dodgers could offer him 1 year, $20 million, and he could rehab out there. And I don't know if you know this, the Dodgers are pretty good. So, the Bieber thing, I hope they can make something work. I don't want those 3 starts or 2 starts in April, in March to be the last thing we see of Shane. That being said, to the Naylor thing, one, I think we're forgetting how good the Travis Hafner really was, just to what Joe was saying. I think it's going to be tough to make a decision. The Guardians don't like to make emotional decisions. Like, even on the Jose thing, if Jose didn't sign the extension back in, well, I think it was 2022, Jose would have been either a Padre or Blue Jay within hours. So they're pretty much sticking to their principles on how they do this. So I don't know that the emotion thing is going to carry as much water for them. I think, honestly, there's one other thing we haven't talked about, Naylor. Because of the injuries and because of the – he's not a late bloomer. The guy was very young when he came up to the bigs for the first time. But because he's just now putting it all together to the level that he is, that might give you enough room, kind of like they did with other guys where – you know, like Kluber. Kluber was seen as a late bloomer, or when he really became Corey Kluber, mm-hmm. He wanted a team-friendly deal to get some more money up front. Now, in the end, it probably wasn't the right decision for him, but it ended up working out famously for the Guardians, or for the then Indians. Let's go with Kevin. Kevin, welcome to the show, buddy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, sir. What's up, man?
I just wanted to talk about Josh Naylor. My fandom with him, I think, started in 2020, right before his injury.
for some reason, I've always gravitated towards the unathletic professional athlete. So, as you had said, Josh Naylor being 5'11", maybe 260 pounds, I've just always loved, like, watching him on the field and just seeing what he can do with his frame and, like, his power. I just think he has so much potential that's been untapped to this point. As we said, he's 26 years old. He's got the contact. He's got the clutch hitting. He's got the power. I think we need to extend him for 5 years, if we can. I don't know where that money would be, but hopefully we can manage to get the deal done.
Kevin, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. I will say, if David Blitzer, who I think we all expect to buy the Guardians whenever the time comes, whenever they go for sale, he's already a minority owner. If his first act was re-signing Josh Naylor, immediately there'd be a lot of buy-in from Guardians fans. Now, in the end, that buy-in only lasts if Josh Naylor performs and stays healthy. But, like, I will say, if David Blitzer, that was, like, his first act as the owner of the Guardians, I think it would be a significant, significant boost to fan morale. Because I do think, like, we can have all the conversations about fan support and all that. I think the fans have it made up what they think about the Dolans, and I think that impacts their interest in this team. Like, this team needs to do double more than anything any other team in town before they get their support from the Guardians fans. And I think a lot of it is from the Dolan side of things. R. Clark 333 saying, what we should be talking about is trading Josh for a frontline starter. That way we create a spot for Manzardo. I wouldn't trade my cleanup hitter now and I don't think Josh would get you a frontline starter, given how value works in baseball. And I actually think, and this goes back to one more point that I have yet to make about the idea of a Josh Naylor deal, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
Manzardo's going to be your first baseman. Josh will probably be your DH. And I think that's another complicating factor. I think moving solely to DH might keep Josh healthier. It's also going to compromise his value than if he is a nice glove first baseman.
Let's sign him. Get it done.
I just don't think it's that easy. And you're not doing this. And I'm not saying even they did it. But as I was listening, it sure sounded like it was you got to sign this guy. It's a no-brainer. And I'm a little leery of that because I think setting this whole thing up as an extension or bust is setting the Guardians up to fail. I do want them to extend some of these young guys. You know, whether it's one of these young pitchers or if, you know, Arias really put something together and you can get a deal on the books for Arias like you got for Andrés Giménez. I'm all for keeping your young guys here contractually controlled for as long as you can. You also can't sign you shouldn't sign everyone. And if they sign him, I'd be happy. I'd constantly be worried about everything we talked about in this segment as a thing that could spike up and hurt you in re-signing him. I don't think when it comes to he plays a little extra weight. Although I disagree with Kevin. Josh is actually super athletic. He is. He's just got that spare tire a little bit. Like, I see it when he runs. Josh, there's no judgment. I have that. You should see – no, you should not see me when I run. Nobody should see me when I run. It's just a lot of movement, all right? It's not pleasant. But that being said, like, I think he is really athletic. But injuries, finally putting it together, is he only a DH? Is that where he's going to be his healthiest? That kind of push and pull with he is the emotional leader. He is a guy that can probably hit 30, 35, maybe even 40 home runs in a season. And he's probably your most relatable player not named Jose Ramirez. That's the push and pull here. But putting it up as, well, they do it or else, or I'm going to be really mad if he – okay, if he played like this for the whole time he was here, I'd maybe feel a little bit different of putting the Guardians in that position. Now, you proposed – or you said this in the pre-show. I don't know a lot about this. You've said that you have a new golf rule.
Well, it's for me personally. It doesn't necessarily affect anybody else. But, you know, in the past, I've not been the biggest golfer in the world. Like, I probably play somewhere in the range of 10 to 20 rounds a year.
Mm-hmm.
probably closer to 12.
Yeah.
But I've made it a commitment this year that I'd like to play more golf. And mm-hmm. so I got people that are asking me to come out and play more and play in some of these events. So I played my first event on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. I played with a couple of my buddies. But, dude, it was freezing outside, okay?
Define freezing.
Okay.
Because you're a bit of a freeze baby.
I'm a freeze baby. I know that. I've been coined that by Michael Reguy and lovely Patty Arkin. But anyway, neither here nor there. I am a freeze baby, and I cannot stand the cold. And you know what else I definitely can't stand, Nick?
What's that?
Cold wind.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Dude, Saturday, I mean, I looked at the forecast, and I was playing come hell or high water because I'd committed to this thing, so I knew that I had to play. And it was a battle in the morning deciding what I was going to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're on the golf course. Like, you want to be able to swing the club. You don't want to be, like, restricted by, like, a winter coat or something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't have, like, hand warmers. You know the hand warmers?
Oh, yeah.
You open the bag and they're warm for, like, 6 hours.
Yeah.
Every store sold out of those things because mm-hmm. it's spring, of course. So I couldn't find any of those things. I did end up finding a pair of, like, winter golf gloves made by, like, FootJoy. They help, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But, bro, I'm telling you, my new rule is when I look at the 10-day forecast or whatever the next day is, frankly, if it says anything in the 40s, not going to be playing golf.
I'm a little disappointed.
Go ahead.
I think because the wussification of Dustin Fox is real here.
Bro.
Last week you were talking about, you know, sitting outside in games. I think you were talking more football games, right?
Yeah, not
sitting outside in the cold and how he just can't do it.
No, it's just not my thing.
I think we can all understand there's a reasonable cold that it's too damn cold to do things outside at. I think it's got to start, like, right around freezing. I'm not saying I love playing golf when it's that cold, but, like, we're in Ohio. If you say, well, it's got to be 50 degrees or more, you got, like, a four-month swing of golf.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
I just, it's not enough.
That's why God invented golf simulators indoors.
And the South as well, just in general.
Or go to the South.
Yeah, but I got to say, I don't know what's going on up in your melon there, but I think you're prematurely aging yourself. And I think this is the latest instance of it. You're a young man. All right, you're still virile. All right, you're in the prime of your life. I think if you start putting limitations on things like activities outside, I mean, you're already not the most manly man that I know.
Far from it.
Yeah, and you accept that, and I think that's wonderful that you don't try and force that. All right, I'm not going to see you with a chainsaw. I'm not going to see you cutting your own lawn. That's fine. But now you're starting to put limitations on, like, actual – the thing that you're great at in this world, which is athletic events and weather. It's a slippery slope. Before long, somebody's going to be feeding you. But before long, there's just going to be like a tube in your belly where it's just going to be like applesauce just fed to you every day.
And okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Someone's going to feed me. Leonardo great. Da Vinci is sitting on my ass.
It's not that bad, but no, in all seriousness, I just didn't enjoy it, and it was just a little bit too chilly out there. I was freezing my butt off. And how about this? Great invention, by the way, the heated vest.
Okay.
So I had like a long sleeve, like a thermal hoodie on, and then I had the vest over top, and it's got like a battery pack.
Yeah.
You can heat that bad boy up. That saved the day for me.
So can I tell you my suggestion to you, instead of just saying no golf if it's in the 40s, walk. Because I will say, like, yeah. I would prefer to walk than sit in a cold cart, because I think the more you move, like, and it's
you're
a
not
pain.
Wrong. You're not wrong about that, but the problem is the wind was so strong. Like, even walking in it would be brutal.
Yeah.
Like, at least in the golf cart, we put the screen up,
uh-huh.
like the windshield, so that sort of blocked the wind. One thing I just thought about over the weekend.
Yeah.
Why don't golf carts? It's not can't be that much more money to invest in, like,
a door.
No. Well, that too. They do make those things you can put over the carts for when it's really really cold or raining, but heated seats.
Oh, that'd be smart. Yeah.
Cost that much.
I just want golf gators. I want like a gator, like instead of a golf cart, give me a gator, like I would go mudding or going back in like the woods with in Medina County, I want one of those. And it might end up tearing up the course. My point is, how much fun would a golf gator be? Because then you could put like a whole keg or anything, not just beer related. You put like a whole thing in the back there along with your clubs. I want a golf gator. I think, but okay.
They got all kinds of cool stuff now. You can get like these golf, they're electric like scooters for the golf course.
Oh, really? Aren't they that they like, aren't those the one, the electric carts too? That you can actually remote control?
Oh, they have those and they follow you.
Yeah. That's like a Roomba, but with it.
Basically, it follows you on the golf course.
That definitely costs like my yearly salary though. I asked the guys, like, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. It was, I almost made that comment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.